Hey everyone, this is James Swan, and I'm reminding you about a special drawing. Earlier this week, we announced a new collection for Century Furniture designed by our guest, Winsor Smith, and launching during the High Point Furniture Market next month. To celebrate, we're giving away copies of her award-winning book, Homefront, Designed for Modern Living. Head over to milliondollardecorating.com/highpoint to win. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Million Dollar Decorating, the only podcast devoted to the worlds of design, decorating, and beautiful living. I'm your host, James Swan, and I am thrilled to have you subscribing to the show today. Remember to head over to our website, milliondollardecorating.com, to learn more about our family of design enthusiasts. Add your name to our email list, then follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. You'll be part of all the great things that we have going on. And the really great thing that's happening right now is that I get to introduce you to our guest today. She is an interior designer, author, product designer, and makeover television personality, as well as the creative force behind her own New York City-based design firm. She is fast becoming known for her growing collections of branded home furnishings for Braxton Kohler, Christorama, Bradburn Gallery, and most recently, four outdoor collections for North Cape. Her interior designs and home products have been featured in leading shelter magazines like Architectural Digest, House Beautiful, Traditional Home, Hampton's Cottages and Gardens, Better Homes and Gardens, and Woman's Day. She has been a regular design expert on NBC's Today Show, HGTV's Small Spaces Big Style, The View, The Rachel Ray Show, The Early Show, and NBC's Open House. She travels across the country presenting her design seminars to consumers, designers, and retailers about all things design. She is very busy making the world more beautiful. Libby Langdon, welcome to Million Dollar Decorating.
Thank you so much, James. I'm thrilled to be talking with you today. This is wonderful. Thank you for having
me. Super excited. Well, we're very excited to have you with us today, Libby. Very excited indeed. As we do with all of our guests, take us back. Tell us about you falling in love with the world of design for the first time.
It's interesting. I was actually born and raised in High Point, North Carolina, which a lot of people know and think of as the furniture capital of the world. And my mom was an interior designer and my dad worked in textiles. So I really grew up around the home furnishings industry. But I kind of had a lot of different twists and turns to get to where I am now. I went to fashion design school in New York. I went to FIT. And I had a time where I worked in the movie business. So I had a lot of different sort of things, but eventually I came back to interior design, and it started because I auditioned for a TV show called Design Invasion, and they were looking for someone to be the host of the show. And they ended up asking me to come back once they realized I had worked in fashion design and said, we'd like you to come back and audition as the designer. And I thought, all right, let me give this a try.
And why not, so, right?
Yeah. So I ended up shooting this show for Fox called Design Invasion, where I'd have 12 hours and $6,000 to make over a room I'd never seen before. And that was my guerrilla interior design school. But what was incredible was it got me traveling into real people's homes across the country and to really see how people live and what are their design dilemmas and what are things that they're looking for. And that was really my start in interior design. And then I decided to open up my own design firm and do residential and commercial projects. And for me, I just became incredibly passionate about helping people to live in a beautiful way. And the thing that was fantastic about doing the makeover TV and also doing regular residential projects where people had bigger budgets was I realized I could make a difference on $6,000 in 12 hours, and I could also make a difference on, you know, $150,000 in 8 weeks. So that for me was where I really started, and the makeover television was definitely the kickstart. And I think we all know as interior designers, I feel like, you know, we're problem solvers first, and good listeners second, and designers third. So that was really where my start came, and I'm just thrilled. I can't imagine doing anything else.
Isn't that great to be in a place in your life and in your career where you can't imagine doing anything else?
It is. It's just amazing. I feel so incredibly lucky, and I love our clients and the people we work with, and I love designing product. So I also think it's a great time in design right now. People are realizing, whether it's, you know, reality TV or you know, all the different websites online that can stimulate people visually, I think people are realizing that the way you live and your surroundings can really affect the way your life is. So for me, in that respect, I feel like we're at a really exciting time in design right now.
It is a wonderful time to be in and about the industry, isn't it? There's so much going on. But then, as you say, there's so much awareness on the public's part of the power and the impact that good design can bring to a home.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think right now it's just fantastic, and it's really to the forefront, and people visually can be inspired and motivated in so many different ways. And I just think that's great news for all of us in design.
So am I right then when I look at your bio and I see all of these great brands that you're partnering with and creating collections for, this is just another way for you to impact people's lives and homes, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think I knew when I started in design, I felt very focused, and I'm a goal-oriented person, and I knew that I wanted to move into the realm of licensing and product design. And I was also super focused that I wanted to make sure it was going to reach the retail level. I didn't want a design product that people could only get through working with interior designers. And part of what is so wonderful about the product design for me is I feel like I'm on the front line all day, every day with a consumer, listening to what they want, what do they like, what don't they like. And if there are things that we're looking for in our office, and we're trying to find things, and we're trying to source things, and we can't find a particular item, then that is a sign right there. That's something I should design. So without a doubt, the product design and my client work definitely go hand in hand. And I think at the same time too, I know I'm not going to design anything super wacky or really crazy, because I don't feel like I have any clients that want anything super wacky or really crazy. Right. I'm designing for what I see people wanting to use in their homes and live with for a long time. And so I think that's really also resonated with my licensing partners, in knowing that I'm super focused on creating something beautiful, but also creating something that's going to really sell.
Absolutely. And at the end of the day, it's part of the business side of the design business, and it's got to sell, or, you know, it's a bit of a waste of time, right?
It's a total waste of time. And the last thing I want to do is create product that sits in a warehouse somewhere. And it is right. Definitely the melding of creative and commerce. And you know, but I feel very responsible to that part of what I do, without a doubt.
Well, that responsibility seems to be paying off, because the collections are beautiful. They seem
Thank
to be
you.
Selling well, and you should be very, very proud of the work that you're doing in that regard. So,
thank you.
Bravo.
It is exciting.
Yay. It is. So tell us more about the things that are happening for you. What new collections are you working on? What new projects? Give us the current 411 on Libby Langdon and Company.
The Libby Lowdown.
The Libby Lowdown. Ooh, I like that.
There's a lot going on these days. We have some wonderful interior design projects for some really fun clients and, you know, all different budgets, sizes, scope of work. And we just really, we love our design clients. We kind of have a policy in the office, no mean clients. We only want to work with nice people.
Yeah.
So that's a great thing. And I just finished a restaurant in Palm Beach Gardens, La Masseria, which is the fifth restaurant that I've done with this same group. And it's I'm just thrilled with it. I think it's the most beautiful one we've done yet. And it's just, it's really exciting. And we had the opening night party a few weeks ago. And so that's really exciting to sort of see that come to life and people able to really enjoy that. And I am currently working on designing my outdoor collections for 2018. And I'm designing and working on my new upholstery collections that we'll introduce at the High Point Market in April. And then I'm also working on my new lighting collections that we will launch at the Dallas Market in June. And I'm also doing some fun media things with some magazines, and I love shooting this show on NBC called Open House. We have a great time doing walkthroughs of projects that we've done, and it's busy, but I like it that
way. I'm exhausted just listening to you. now a little bird told me one other thing, and that is that you've got a book it's about to come out, or has it already come out?
Yes, it's already come out. It's called Libby Langdon, Small Space Solutions. And I had done a show on HGTV for 5 seasons called Small Space, Big Style. And after working on the show, I had just compiled so many tips about small space living. And I just thought, I should put this in a book. And then eventually the book became sort of just a everything I knew about interior design, and it's great. And I travel around the country doing different speaking engagements and still do book signings. And so it's fun. And even though it's, you know, about small space design, it sort of encompasses everything that you would want to know about your house. And it's interesting because when it came time to write the book, I sort of had this, I don't know, fantasy that I could like do a bunch of bullet points and somebody would magically come and be able to write the book for me. And that just didn't happen. As a designer, you really have to, write the book because you're the one who knows about design. And so what's fun is I write the way I talk. So anyone who reads the book knows very clearly that I wrote every word of it, but it was a passion project, and it's fun that it still sort of has a life to this day, but it was a lot of work. I don't think I'm ever going to write another book. I think I had one in me.
They are a lot of work, aren't they? They really are. But good for you for getting it out there, and it's one that we will post a link to on the show notes section of this interview. So our listeners who don't already own it can click on that link and add it to their library. I know that they'll be excited about that. Libby, you've got so many things going on. You're speaking, you're writing, you're creating, you're designing. When you think about the big picture, what is it that you love most about what you get to do right now?
Oh, there's so much. I would say probably the most rewarding part of what I do is taking a client's space that they have absolutely no idea how to begin or where to start, and creating a room that they can just live in and love with their friends and family. And when they see it all come together at the end of the day because we install all in one day. It's a crazy thing I do because that's how I do it in makeover television. So right. I do that for my clients too. But when they come in at the end of the day and the room is completely transformed, it's just thrilling. I absolutely adore that. I would say the very close second is seeing my product that I design out in the real world, meaning it's not in a showroom somewhere. It's not, you know, hanging in a store. It's in somebody's home, and they made the choice to buy my product over all the other product that they could buy. And that is just incredibly rewarding as well. So gosh darn it, I like everything I'm working on. It's hard to pick one.
Well, you're allowed to love it all. You really, really are. But I'm gonna poke a little bit here because we all know in this crazy business that there are days when things go terribly wrong.
Yes.
It's just the nature of the business. So that's sort of the flip side of the things that we love. How do you handle those days? How do you handle when things go terribly wrong?
I just take deep breaths and know it's gonna eventually all be okay. It's really difficult. And I think in every business, things are going to go wrong. And what's great is if things go wrong in the design business, it's not as catastrophic as if you were a doctor. That's
very
a much
true.
Bigger problem. So I think a good dose of perspective and as designers, we are problem solvers. You begin a project solving a problem, solving the fact that someone's home is empty, someone's home isn't working. And so when things do go wrong, I just try to keep that same head space happening where I say, all right, this isn't right. We're going to figure it out and we will make it work. And I think that also sort of comes into the no mean client policy, because if you have a really mean client, you know, sometimes they're just looking for something to be really upset about. So I think problem solving is an indicative part of design, and things are just going to go wrong sometimes, and you just have to realize that. And I have to say too, working in makeover television really helped me, figure out how to walk the line when things don't go right. And you know, a lot of times some producers on makeover TV will say, oh my gosh, we've got to come up with something that's going to go horribly wrong so we can create drama. And I always say, yeah, you don't need to create that because things are going to go wrong. So there'll be plenty of drama without you creating it. But I remember when I did my very first pilot of my very first makeover show, and I was still really just learning about interior design, and I had gotten a remnant carpet, but I hadn't taken into account a hearth on a fireplace that jutted out into the room. And we rolled out the rug and we started installing, and you know, the homeowner was going to be there in an hour, you know, it was that kind of thing. And we rolled it out and it hit the hearth and it was way too big. And the producer just looked at me and he was like, now what are you going to do? And I said, well, somebody give me a straight, you know, razor edge and let's cut it around the hearth and slap it down and keep moving, you know. So you realize there are ways to work around things, and you just got to keep it all going. So
that's right.
Yeah.
Keep that train moving. Now, Libby, when we're here on the show, we're talking and our listeners at home are tuning in, and many of them are working on their own homes, working to create beauty in their own homes. Talk to our listeners for a moment, Libby. Share with them some thoughts, some ideas, how they might avoid mistakes and create more beauty in their own homes.
I think for me, if people know the look and the design that they want, That's great. If you don't know the look or the design that you want, that's why things like Pinterest and Houzz are just invaluable tools. Go on, find designs, find looks that you like, and copy them. See what are the details and the design things that you really like in there and sort of speak to you. Another thing I would say is one of the best and most valuable tools when we work on makeovers is paint. Mm. Paint is one of the least expensive and most transformative things you can do in a space. And it's certainly cheaper and faster than, you know, changing your upholstery and all your furniture every few years. So I'm a fan of an accent wall. I also think big rugs are really important. When people put little rugs in little rooms, visually it just chops the space up and it makes it feel and look a lot smaller. I think the other thing that's important is for people to not sort of piecemeal. You know, they'll bring in one chair and say, this is going to transform my room. Ah, it's a lot of pressure to put on one chair. So I think it's important to have an overall view. And I think for people that have lived in a space for a long time, it's very difficult for them to get an objective look at the space. And so finding what the right layout is for your room, I think is really imperative. Decluttering, nobody wants to hear that, but you know, that can really transform a space just by getting rid of stuff. So, you know, I think there are a lot of little things you can do to make a big change and a big difference. And you know, that's sort of why I wrote the book, because I really wanted to arm people with tools and tactics on how to create their own spaces, no matter what their budget is. So I kind of feel like I'm a little bit of a design cheerleader / bubbly life coach.
Well, they sort of go hand in hand, don't they?
Kind of.
Good design can really change a life. So it
really can. I think when you love where you live, that manifests itself in so many areas of your life. It really, really does.
Isn't that the truth? It really does. Now, since you mentioned it, loving where you live, let's talk about where you call home for a moment. Do you have a favorite space in your own home, Libby? Someplace that you really like?
I do. We have an apartment in New York City, but what I really call home is our home in Sag Harbor, Long Island. And without a doubt, the favorite room is the living room. Our house is three levels. It's an upside down house. So the top floor is the main living space, the kitchen, the master bedroom, dining room. And when I walk up the stairs to that third floor, it's just a beautiful, light-filled, bright, open, airy space. And it's almost a Pavlovian response. I walk up the stairs and I just start taking deep breaths. I feel so comfortable and so rested and relaxed when I'm there. And it's also synonymous with where we entertain friends and family. And what's great is because it is an upside down house, that level of the house is over the treetops. So it almost feels like you're in a big, you know, birdhouse, which I love. So that without a doubt is my favorite room where we live.
Sounds like a place you don't want to leave, right?
It's hard to leave, I admit.
I can believe that. So what would our listeners be most surprised to find in your home, Libby?
Oh my gosh, what would they be most surprised? Probably, this is totally off the wall, and I would imagine no one has ever said this on any of your wonderful interviews, but I make my own homemade habanero vinegar. It sounds very strange. I love incredibly spicy food, very, very spicy food that most people would never want to eat. And so I make my own habanero vinegar. So there are all these jars of habanero stuffed in vinegar. Wow. In our pantry. So that's probably the thing people would be surprised to find that we have in our home.
Hot, hotter and hottest, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that stuff can be dangerous. I've picked the wrong one at a dinner party once, and oh my gosh, that's so painful.
Yeah, it's painful for a lot of people.
Yep. All right. Well, watch out for Libby's habanero vinegar. And yeah, that's a good one. I haven't heard that one before.
I figured you wouldn't have heard that one before.
You are unique. We love that. We love that. Libby, think for a moment about designer style icons, people whose work has inspired you and who you really look up to. They could be living, could be deceased. If you had an opportunity to spend an hour or so with that person, I don't know, maybe hang out in their dressing room or their closet while they're getting ready, who would you hang out with and tell us why?
If I had to pick one designer, I think it would be Ralph Lauren. I love the combination of dressy and casual. I love the combination of perfection and effortlessness. It's an East Coast, West Coast, texture, color. I just feel like he's always exploring what the story of design is, whether it's in fashion or interiors. And I think that he explores it in its fullest way. And I think he also stays open to what the next direction is. And I think to be a leader in the forefront of design, but to also stay open to what the next things are, I think that's a tastemaker, and I just think he's masterful at that. And I just love the world that he's created. And I've had the opportunity a couple times to go to a preview of how they work on their home decor collections. And they would take a loft down in New York City and just completely transform it into what they thought the next incarnation of their home decor collections would be. And it didn't matter if it was a Paris apartment or a Southwest, you know, cabin or a Downton Abbey chintz-filled room. It was just committing to design at the highest level. And it wasn't saying, we're going to definitely do this. It was saying, we're going to create this look, see if it works, and then pick the one that works the best. And I was just blown away and completely inspired by that whole process. I just thought it was fascinating. And so that would definitely be a designer I would want to sit with and just say, where does it come from?
How did you do that? That's a good pick. I may tag along if you get to set that one up. That would be a good one to go and experience. Libby, share with us the very best decorating advice you've ever been given.
Oh my gosh, the best decorating advice. I think the best decorating advice is that there are no rules. There are no rules. And I remember I had designed this apartment for a client on the Upper East Side, and he was a heart surgeon, and he worked all day, and he was only in his apartment at night. And it was an incredible apartment. It was on the 40th floor, sweeping views of Manhattan. It was just stunning. And I was talking to my mom about it. And, you know, she was a designer. And I said, I'm going to do black drapes because at night, I wouldn't want to see all these white lines on the windows. I would want the black to sort of meld in seamlessly with the skyline. And she's like, oh, sweetheart, you can't do black drapes. You know, she thought it was going to look like the Addams Family in there. And I said, I really think this is the right thing. But she kind of came from a world of design where there were rules and there were things that you could do and you couldn't do. And what I love now is the freedom that there are no rules. Everything can work in any space. And look, let's face it. Sometimes they're collections that clients have or things that I think, oh, I'm not so sure I really am enjoying the look of that. But you know what? That makes them happy. So
right.
It's about making the client thrilled at the end of the day that they're going to now be able to live in the space that they love. And so I think having no rules in design is probably the best advice.
That's a good one. It is a good one. We should have t-shirts made, I think. No, mm-hmm. There are no rules.
There are no rules.
Libby, are you a book lover? I know you've written one, so you've got some affinity for them.
Yes, I'm going to be so honest with you, James. I'm not a book lover.
Oh, no.
It's terrible.
No.
I know. And maybe it's just because I don't feel like I have the time to sit and read. I'm constantly writing or working. And I know that sounds horrible, but
no.
At some point in my life, I'm going to take a fabulous 3-week vacation and then I'm going to start reading.
There you go. That sounds like a good plan to me. Well, we've got you covered because we've already made the recommendation of your book to our listeners. So we're going to post that in the show notes section with a link so they can add that. And I think that'll be some good reading for a lot of people. So
great.
Mission accomplished. Libby, we're down to the last question. You ready for this one?
I'm ready.
We finish every show with the same question. So let me paint a picture and get your thoughts. Imagine you woke up tomorrow morning in a brand new world. It's physically identical to the earth that you know, but you don't know a single soul. You still have all the experience, all the knowledge you currently have. Your food and shelter are taken care of, but your new home is empty. All you have is a laptop, a mobile phone, and about $1,000 in your pocket. What would you do over the next 7 days to begin to decorate your new home?
Whew, that's a very tough question. I would say I would, and this probably comes again from my makeover television background and needing to do things on a shoestring. I would buy some textural pieces from Pier 1. I would probably buy some simple, very clean-lined upholstery and furniture from IKEA. I would find some accessories from Home Goods, lamps and finishing touches. And then I'd probably get some bedding at Target. And I would get some paint and do one accent wall in each room. And then I'd probably take the leftover paint and paint my own abstract art on pieces of very inexpensive poster board. That would probably be my plan. And I think I would really love it.
I think it's a great plan. And I know that in your hands, it would be a lovely environment to come home to. So, good for you. Libby Langdon, what a joy getting to speak with you today. Thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you so much. It was wonderful to speak with you. And I so enjoy your podcast and I'm just thrilled to be a part of it. Thank you.
It's our pleasure to have you. We love the idea that you're here with us today. I know that our listeners at home have enjoyed this. We want to turn around and say thank you to each of you for subscribing to the show. None of this means anything if it's not for you. So we appreciate you following us, sharing news about the show with your friends, and helping us to grow. Go over to the website, milliondollardecorating.com, where you can get the notes from today's show. We'll post a link to Libby's website, libbylangdon.com. Click on that. Follow all the great things that she and her team are up to. We'll post a link to Libby's book, which I know you'll want to add to your library. Another link. Click on it. Add it to your library. You won't regret it. While you're on our site, click a few buttons there. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. And finally, and most importantly, remember that it's up to you to make your world more beautiful.